This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Tuesday, October 19th. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverenz. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast across America on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. I want to remind you that Tuesdays is the traditional day for devotion to the guardian angels. So I want to encourage you to pray for help to your guardian angel on this day. Now, November is the month we remember the holy souls, our family and friends who have passed from this earthly life. Join us November 2nd through the 10th as we pray a novena for your departed loved ones during daily mass, the Chapel of Divine Mercy, and the Family Rosary across America. All you have to do is submit the names of all your deceased family and friends today at relevantradio.com/souls. Submit them all. There's no limit, and they all need our prayers. Go to relevantradio.com/souls to create your list of departed loved ones. We'll all gather to pray a novena November 2nd through the 10th during Holy Mass at noon central, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. on the Drew Mariani Show, and the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky at 7 p.m. central on the air on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. Now I want to bring in my partner, Glenn Leverenz. Glenn, what are some of the stories you're keeping an eye on this morning?
Well, John, the saga of the Texas heartbeat law continues. Now the Justice Department, the U.S. Justice Department, officially asking the Supreme Court to stop the Texas abortion law. Of course, this prohibits abortion after a baby's heartbeat is detected. The DOJ filed papers Monday saying the justices need to reinstate an injunction that was vacated recently by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Acting Solicitor General Brian Fletcher says the court also needs to hold hearings and render judgment during their current term instead of just letting the Fifth Circuit Court rule on the law. And so that continues. And meanwhile, 100 to 150 lives a day being saved since that law went into effect at the beginning of September.
We continue to pray for the justices, again, that they have the courage to rule correctly, if indeed it gets all the way to the Supreme Court. So we continue to pray and pray for life here in this month of October. Turning to something a little bit more fun, last night, Major League Baseball Game 3 of the American League Championship Series, the Boston Red Sox absolutely routed the Houston Astros 12-3 behind. Four home runs, including this grand slam by Kyle Schwarber, the former Chicago Cub, as heard on FS1.
He kicks and he delivers. Swing. There's a long drive to right field. Deep toward the grandstand. Tucker looking up. It is gone into the grandstand. Grand slam, Kyle Schwarber. 6-0 Red Sox. Can you believe it?
Glenn, all I can say was absolutely crushed.
Man, I tell you, speaking of prayers, Dusty Baker, manager of the Astros, maybe praying for some pitching help there. My goodness, 12-3. So Sox up 2-1, and that series continues. And some just hitting coming from all corners there. Kike Hernandez, center fielder for the Sox, in the company of Ty Cobb and Lou Gehrig and the likes of that in terms of his performance in the postseason in terms of hits and total bases, batting average in the postseason, about .500 so far.
Absolutely amazing for Kiki. The three grand slams so far, it's never been done. One team in the playoffs to hit three grand slams. So the Bo Sox are red hot, and they have the 2-1 advantage in that series.
And the national side, it's back to Los Angeles. The Dodgers hoping for some luck here, getting walked off in the bottom of the ninth, first two games from the Braves. But the Dodgers down 2-0. They'll host game 3 this afternoon out in Los Angeles.
We'll definitely be keeping an eye on that one as well. Glenn, as always, thanks so much.
All right, John.
First things first, we start each hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of relevant radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, coming up momentarily, international Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina will be with us for our weekly Remember You Are Loved series to continue discussing love abuse when what you give or get isn't love at all, some of the many ways in which love is being distorted these days. And later on, at the bottom of the hour, Catholic speaker and author Kendra Von Esch will talk about evangelization and what exactly does it mean and how can we do it? And we'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. As we do every day, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. As Catholic Christians, we need to always be prepared to give a reasoned explanation for what we believe and why we believe it. There will no doubt be situations when someone comes up to you and asks you, why do you believe that Mary is the Mother of God or that the Holy Eucharist is more than just a symbol? We need to always be ready to answer, but to answer with charity and clarity, with gentleness and respect from whomever challenges us about our Catholic faith. Know your faith, know what scripture, tradition, and the catechism teaches, but always do it with respect. Pray with great confidence. Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now let's talk about love.
When I say goodbye, it is never for long. 'Cause I know our love still lives on. It'll be again exactly like it was. 'Cause I believe in the power of love.
Yes, we're going to talk about the power of love today. We'll pick up where we left off last week when we began discussing an important challenge that we face, what Martha calls love abuse, when what you give or get isn't love at all. We're now joined by international bilingual Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina to continue our weekly series, Remember You Are Love. Martha is an international bilingual speaker, teacher, trainer, writer, consultant, outreach developer, and the former director for evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLove.com and host of the Remember You Are Love TV series. Good morning, Martha. Thanks again for being with us this morning. Good to be with you.
Good morning, John. Always good to be with you.
We had so much to talk about last week that we couldn't get it all in, so we kind of want to continue our discussion that we started. Can you give us a little recap of what we started talking about when I brought up the whole idea of what is wrong with love?
Nothing is wrong with love if we love rightly, if we love authentically. But we don't, and that's what we began to address last week. We'll continue this week, and as long as we need to, that there are ways in which love is distorted. And sometimes it's massive. It's a perversion in deliberate ways or unknowingly or because we are fallen creatures. And there's a way in which love has been redefined even to mean any number of things that are anything but love, in fact, the opposite of love. And we gave one concrete example last week of how even abortionists are saying that abortion is an act of love, which it is not at all. It's the taking of a human life. So there are many ways in which we fall prey to the distortion of love, or what we're getting is not love and we sense it, but we're not really sure exactly what's going on. And so we want to talk about that some more today.
Absolutely. And, you know, since we last talked, I've been reading some of the writings of St. John Paul II in preparation for his big feast day coming up this Friday. And I found just, you know, quote after quote of the Holy Father talking about the importance of love, how love is really the essence of the message of the gospel. And we remember that God is love. And so this was something that was very dear to Pope St. John Paul II during his pontificate. And obviously, this is part of the reason why we're here talking about love week after week.
Absolutely. He had a great impression on me. In fact, in great measure, I owe my adherence to the Catholic faith and to the church to him. I even put a ruse to the Lord that if I could meet him personally and greet him, I would stay in the church. And that's exactly what happened. I'll have to tell you the story with detail at some other time. And this week is an anniversary week because of his election and his installation as Pope and the feast day, which we will celebrate again this year.
Absolutely. Martha, what are some of the other ways in which we witness love abuse? And can you identify whether what we're getting into or giving isn't love at all?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that there's a redefinition, as I mentioned moments ago. So be careful when anyone redefines authentic love or compassion or caring or tolerance or freedom in a way that is not that which these things are. And that's why we need, in fact, John Paul II is so relevant in this regard because he was such a deep thinker as a philosopher, as a theologian, as a pastor of souls, as a man who suffered greatly, who understood love even in the midst of the harshest of situations under all kinds of social and political upheaval. And he wrote extensively. So we need to go back to the classics so that we do not allow love to be redefined. I'll just give you one example. Tolerance used to be that you and I might be neighbors. We may not see things eye to eye, but we tolerate, we respect each other. We allow each other to have their point of view. Then it turned into tolerance is you need to accept what I believe and agree with it. Then it turned into you need to accept what I believe, agree with it, and celebrate it. And then it turns into if you do not do and think exactly what I do and think and say and celebrate it, then you're a bigot and you're a hater.
And we're going to cancel you. We'll cancel you.
Exactly. We will cancel you and we will deperson you. We will make you a nobody. We will ignore you and we will call you a hater and we will call your speech, if we dislike it, hate speech. So we have to be very careful because all of a sudden, if I dislike what you say or think, I can say it's hate speech as opposed to love speech when it's simply something that I disagree with and that maybe we need to really debate and dialogue even intensely. But to classify you in that manner is one of the dangers that love, the redefinition of love, poses today.
And freedom is also being changed, the redefinition of what true freedom means.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why, again, I'm glad you brought up John Paul II, because he is so keen on what freedom truly is, metaphysically, philosophically, theologically, biblically, etc. A second thing, John, is inversion. We have to be careful when we talk about love and love abuse that people flip things on their head. And I think I mentioned this briefly last week. When you call evil good and good evil, when you call, as I said a moment ago, love hate and hate love, when you flip things on its head, there's a sign that what you're giving or getting is not love. Another thing is when you demand that another betray their conscience, their deeply held convictions, their beliefs, who they are, that is another sign that what you're giving or getting or demanding is not love. Another thing that we fall into very commonly, and we need to be aware in ourselves and in those around us, is utilitarianism. When we use another, when we objectify other people, when we do it seeking gain or profit or pleasure or control or whatever it might be, because we are not objects to be used, we are subjects to be loved. The only natural response of my soul toward another human being, even a stranger that I might meet somewhere, is to love, to notice to recognize, to remind myself that they came into the world pre-loved by God, and therefore they are not an object to be used, but a subject to be loved. And that might lead, if we're not careful, to any number of things like physical abuse, sexual abuse, psychological and emotional abuse, and even spiritual abuse.
Absolutely. And obviously, there are many, many others that we could talk about. But for the sake of time, I think it all pretty much is summed up in calling evil good and good evil, which especially we see so blatantly, as you mentioned earlier, in the abortion debate. When people actually try to justify and say that abortion is a moral good, that is the epitome of calling evil good and good evil.
Yes, and because we are human beings with a soul and a spirit, we have to be very careful, because sometimes we can even improperly, or sometimes even maliciously, use God and the Word of God and Christian or other religious traditions to manipulate and to subjugate people, or to coerce them or cajole them or to entice them or compromise them or even punish and damn them in ways that are very damaging to their soul, to their psyche, to the sense of who they are as a precious being in the eyes of God. And so other ways in which we fall into this love abuse, when we're giving or getting something that is not truly authentic love, is unhealthy relating, from bullying people verbally or physically, to codependent type relationships where we want somebody either to become dependent excessively and emotionally entangled with us, or when we become that with others. This happens often, John, and among our listeners, some of you might experience this in your own lives growing up or in your current situation when you're living with or dealing with or in a close relationship with or married to or the child of someone who has an addiction to alcohol or another drug or to sex or gambling or whatever it may be. You might fall into, or they might fall into, a codependent relationship that's unhealthy, and that time many times can lead to what I call love abuse. And then there's the much talked about and not always fully understood, but very fascinating psychologically, dynamic of gaslighting, which is actually kind of crazy making. And usually that is done by people who actually have personality disorders. So, but it seems like there's an increase in narcissistic tendencies in the world. And a lot of people, even in media, are using gaslighting, but it can happen in our relationships.
You were reading my mind. Martha, you were reading my mind. I'm sitting here thinking, my goodness, we see this not only from individuals, but also from media organizations, the mainstream media. How often do we see the mainstream media twisting facts to present their point of view, or distorting facts or a story where you get a totally biased perspective, for example, on a pro-life story from the mainstream media? I mean, these are real examples that you're giving.
Absolutely. And for those of you who don't know all the details of what gaslighting is, I recommend that you just do a little search and you will find a number of solid psychological websites and so forth that talk about it. But we see it, as you said, John, in the media. We see it in our own relationship with friends, coworkers, people even in church sometimes, where the facts are distorted, the sequence of events are inverted, the victim becomes a victimizer, the victimizer becomes the victim all of a sudden. What? How did what you say and do all of a sudden become my fault? When people start sowing self-doubt in another, when you start doubting, what, did I actually say that? Did I actually do that? Am I actually that person that you're describing, when you know you're not? There's a lot of confusion that comes in. So when you see these things in a relationship, don't confuse this with love. You know, there's confusion in your mind because it has purposely been put on you. There's backtracking of things they did and said. There's a disorientation. There's a number of inconsistencies where they say one thing and then they do another. When they say, let's go out on Sunday, next thing you're all dressed up and ready to go and say, oh no, I didn't say Sunday, I said Saturday. Or when, you know, everything is fine and we have our empty shelves in our grocery stores because the economy is strong. You're thinking, no, that doesn't make sense. So those are dangers. We need to be careful when you hear that in the media, when you hear that in your marriage, when you hear that at home, when you hear it in the workplace. Some other issues, John, that we face when what we're not getting or giving is authentic love are things like controlling, demeaning, undermining another, invalidating another. I don't know how many of you have experienced that, but all of a sudden you feel like you're not being valued or validated. Your point of view isn't being respected. You're feeling like you're being undermined by a boss, a coworker, a friend, a spouse, a parent. These other things that are so damaging, even with children, we have to be so careful. When you reject others, when you ignore others, literally you're ignoring as if they are not seen, as if they're not heard, as if they're not there. Or many times this happens in very dysfunctional families, terrorizing children, isolating a spouse from the rest of their family, isolating children from their friends, or even in the worst case scenario, John, which is part of what we talked about with the whole idea of abortion and other things, even politically, corrupting another, exploiting another, corrupting children. And there's a lot of debate right now of what's going on in our public schools and the kind of reading materials that they're giving, the kind of thing that they're learning. There's a lot of corrupting and exploiting. That's not love.
Martha, in the final moments that we have, let's look at the antithesis, the positive of what we're talking about, pure godlike love. What's been your experience? What does that look like? What does it feel like?
I'll tell you the story of a young man I met. He's in his 30s. I'll call him Mark. We met recently. We talked for about 2 hours, and he shared with me how he experienced our exchange. He shared a lot of intimate things, a lot of struggles. And he said, he showed that there was no bias in what I was saying, that there were no strings attached, no shame. He felt love. And he said to me in a text, he said, "What truly makes my heart joyful is that you come not in a selfish ambition, with selfish ambition or seeking something for yourself, but rather unbiased." And he said, "Loving in conduct and support, I bless you for God." He was quoting scripture there as well. It reminds me also of a young man, probably in his 30s, whom I met years ago, and we've connected on and off also online. And he told me a few months ago, he said, "I've always remembered you. You are a feeling person, and I like that." He said, "At least I know you are real. You are caring, understanding, and open-minded." So what does it feel like? It feels when you are validated, when you're seen, when you're heard, when you're acknowledged, when you feel encouragement, when you feel acceptance, when you notice and experience that there's not judgment, when you feel the warmth and the tenderness and a sense of peace that the other person is transmitting to you. Or as we see in the Gospels, even when a difficult conversation is going to ensue, like Jesus with the rich young man, it says, before they even talked, it says that Jesus looked at him with love. Real authentic love, John, is when you are looked at with love and you're respected as an individual.
For more perspectives on what real love is, perhaps we can go to St. Paul's letter, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind. Meditate on that, and I think that that will definitely fill our hearts. Martha, as always, thanks so much for being with us. Where can our listeners find you?
Yeah, you can find me at MarthaFernandezSardina.com and at RememberYouAreLoved.com. And John, remember, you are loved.
I never forget it. Thanks, Martha. Martha Fernandez Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, our good friend, Catholic speaker and author Kendra Von Esch will be with us to talk about evangelization. That's a big word. What does it mean? How do we do it? Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this timeout.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll bring you yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now I want to talk about evangelization. What exactly is evangelization and how do we do it as Catholic Christians? I want to share the end of the Gospel of St. Matthew for a perspective on what evangelization is actually all about. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave the great commission to his apostles and to us, saying, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." The question is, what does our blessed Lord's words mean for us today? Go and make disciples of all nations. St. John Paul II, my hero, we're going to celebrate his feast day coming up later this week, said before he died, "It is not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others." And now joining us for more perspective is our friend Kendra Von Esch to talk about evangelization. Kendra is a speaker, faith coach, author, podcaster, and regular contributor to Morning Air, who is passionate about sharing her Catholic faith, her supernatural transformation, and spiritual experiences while helping others on their journey. Kendra is also the author of "Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God." Good morning, Kendra. Welcome back to Morning Air. Always good to be with you.
Oh, it's fantastic to be back. Thanks, John. Hi to all the listeners and the Relevant Radio team. What a glorious day to be alive. Praise be to God. Hey, are we talking evangelism or what?
Evangelism, evangelization, all of the above. Kendra, let's begin with the definition of evangelization. I mean, this is a word that gets thrown around. A lot of folks have heard it, but they don't really understand what exactly it means. And also, there's a lot of different meanings of the word evangelization.
Yeah, it's funny. I looked up the word evangelist, and it's in the beginning of my journey, I couldn't even spell evangelization. So I was one of those people who was as confused as ever on what an evangelist really was, with the exception of my knowledge of people on TV, right? Tammy Faye Baker, that's like one person that I can remember
as
a youth.
Wow, you used to watch her?
No, but I can remember her. Who can't remember her, right? I mean, that's one of the people that I equated as an evangelist. So guess what? I looked up Webster's Dictionary, and those don't even help much. So the writer of the four Gospels, obviously, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The second one was a Protestant minister or layman who preaches at a special service. And then the third and last was an enthusiastic advocate. So I think we all fall into that enthusiastic advocate category because we must be an advocate for the Lord, right? Introduce him, as you said, to the world. And I want to talk a little bit about how do you do that in words today. We talk a lot about living and loving and letting your life preach the gospel to other people. But I think sometimes we're afraid and we struggle to talk about our faith. We don't know the Bible verses, chapter and verse, and so or maybe even the explicit teachings of the church. So we just are really reserved about inviting people in to this relationship with God and his word, because that's really what it's all about. Evangelization and being an evangelist and evangelizing is introducing the Bible, God's word, not our beliefs and our thoughts to the world, but the truth of the Bible and the fact that Jesus is our Savior and that Jesus died on the cross to save us and have us have all of our sins be forgiven, and that he is our salvation.
Without a doubt. In fact, the very word evangelization or evangelize, the beginning of it comes from evangelium, the word for the gospel. So as you are saying correctly, there is power in the gospel. There is power in the word of God, the inerrant, inspired word of God that we love so much here on this show.
Ah, what a great, thank you for going farther than just Webster's Dictionary, because most people might not dive into the actual, basis of the word. But how do you go out there and be like, "Lord, Jesus is our Savior. He's, repent and believe in the gospel." I mean, we got to talk in ways that meet people where they're at. And that is where we can just share our experiences with God. You know, if it comes to salvation, right, to truly knowing that God exists, if someone ever asks me, why do you believe what you believe, or do you believe in God, I go right to my confession story. And I share that, yes, I went to confession after being gone from 26 years with many mortal sins on my soul. I wasn't even going to any Christmas or Easter services of any kind for 20 years. I was living the worldly life. And then when I was in that experience with Jesus in confession, I realized why it's called the sacrament of reconciliation. Because I was reconciled to God. I knew that God loved me and God existed based on the experience that I had as I was sharing all my dreadful sins, crying my eyes out, thinking I was going to get a really big, bad sentence and a lot of, like, you're a really bad person, when the opposite happened. And I had this beautiful, loving feeling. And so when you think about tying in the word, when I share that with people, you know, I just basically mentioned that Jesus died to forgive our sins. And I felt that. I knew that there was a God. And then I also knew that that was the sacrament of reconciliation in this Catholic church that we have here. And that changed my life. So we can bring in parts of the church into our evangelizing, as well as the gospel and the word of God. So that's one way, just diving into the salvation part of it. But we can evangelize in so many different ways, just sharing our stories.
Kendra, do you think that there are a lot of brothers and sisters, Catholic Christians, who feel like evangelizing, well, that's for the professionals, that's for the apologists, that's for the Catholic priests, the nuns, the bishops, that doesn't really apply to me. And they don't recognize that it does apply to all of us, because our Lord, before he left this world, gave us the Great Commission, go and therefore and make disciples of all nations. It is not a suggestion. It was a command for all of us, not just for his apostles or disciples.
I couldn't agree more. And a lot of the people that I coach in my faith practice feel like they should be doing more and they want to get out there more. But I keep saying, look, we need to evangelize in our own families. I have a ministry based on this, and my husband is still not going to Mass. I got some work to do in my
own
house.
Don't worry, he will. He will.
Right.
I think it's pretty difficult to live with you, Kendra, and not eventually come over to the other side.
Right, but that's why I want to give people hope out there. Like, hey, you've got work to do right in your own home. And so here's one way that I evangelized with my husband just yesterday. I was reading, you know, the feast day of Luke, all about evangelizing, and the Lord put on my heart in prayer that I'm not really the best tip-top shape. So about a month ago, I started working out, feeling better, getting flexible, growing some muscles, and I was feeling good. And then we went on a trip, and then since then, it's been about a month, and I haven't done a thing. And as the weeks have gone by, I've complained to my husband about how out of shape I'm getting again, but I haven't changed or done anything. But yesterday in prayer, God put on my heart that you're supposed to be out there evangelizing, and we are mind, body, soul, and spirit. And my body ain't feeling it right now. I know I'm a better evangelizer and I'm a better person. When I take care of myself physically, I could be stronger. I could have more stamina, more endurance. And so I chose at that moment, based on the fact that I reflected on scripture, right? Like, my body is not my own. It was purchased at a great price by Jesus. And it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when my husband came home, I said, I worked out. And he's like, really, what made you do that? Because obviously I've been complaining about it. So I told him that in prayer, God showed me that I'm a better person. I'm a better wife. I'm a better mom. I'm a better evangelist. I'm a better human being. And I shared those two Bible verses. And he's like, that's awesome. So it's crazy. You can evangelize just by talking about silly little things like that right in your own home.
And Kendra, you remind me that there is definitely a connection, a similarity between our physical lives and, you know, and physical training, working out, and our spiritual life. Just like we can get out of shape physically by not working out, not going to the gym, not running or doing some kind of exercise, we can also get spiritually out of shape by not praying, by not going to Mass, by not praying the rosary, not reading scripture. So I think it's important. You can't give what you don't have. You have to first take care of your own spiritual life and then be able to share it with others.
Exactly. We've all been in the ups and downs of that prayer life, right? Or we've had dry moments on our spiritual journey, or we just kind of fell off the wagon. I mean, I've done that myself. We're all human. Prayer is a battle. The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that. So breathe deep and know that you're not alone. But prayer is also beautiful, and it's a gift. And if we continue to walk toward God, even though we fall, even though we don't talk to Him for a little while, or we drift away, He's always right there. He never drifts from us. We are the ones that drift from Him. So you're so spot on that the more we continue to talk to Him all day, the more we have a regular prayer life, the more we think about what He's doing in our lives and reflect and pay attention, the more we'll learn, the more we'll be able to depend on Him, be more humble, and give big issues and situations to Him that are out of our control. And then we can also evangelize through that, how we can be peaceful in trials and tribulations. And then also, you know, go back to the Bible and tie in some Bible verses. It's not you, it's God that says this. Do not be afraid. You know, I can help you carry this yoke. Your burdens will be light if you call on me. And that's really the lesson we're just trying to get out there, is call on Him and He'll do the rest with you.
For sure. I'm remembered of the famous words of St. Francis of Assisi: preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. I'd like to invite our listeners, if you want to share your experience of sharing our Catholic faith, of evangelizing your friends, your family, your coworkers, if you've had an experience that you'd like to share with us, or if you have a question for Kendra, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We need to take a short break as we continue our conversation with our good friend Kendra Von Esch, a Catholic speaker, podcaster, vlogger, and author extraordinaire. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now, 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
48 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us this morning as we continue our conversation about evangelization. What exactly is evangelization and how can we do it? We're talking with Kendra Von Esch, our good friend, speaker, podcaster, vlogger, and author. Kendra, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. Exciting topic.
Without a doubt. Kendra, I know that this is a topic that for you really hits home, the whole idea of sharing your faith, especially after your conversion. Can you give us a few practical tips from your experience of what's the best way of evangelizing, of sharing our Catholic faith with others?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there are people out there that have some story about how God has touched their lives in some way, shape, or form. That's why we're listening to Relevant Radio. That's why we're searching. That's why we're seeking holiness and walking together in this spiritual digital family that we have here on Relevant Radio. We're walking together. So with that in mind, we're seeking to hopefully bring others with us. I always think about today we read in the Alleluia about praying
being vigilant and praying to have the strength to stand before the Son of God. And I looked at that. I think a lot of people probably would think, oh no, standing in front of the Son of God, judgment day, my sins, how sinful I am, how horrible I am. Oh my gosh, I better get to reconciliation, because now that's what I'm calling it, right? Because I want to look at my relationship with God as a beautiful, loving father-daughter relationship, or father-son relationship, as some listeners out there are men, and not as a teacher-student where I'm going to get whacked on my knuckles or I'm going to get a red grade that isn't what I'm seeking. So this morning, I looked at that same passage, and I thought about myself standing in front of the Lord, the Son of Man, and praying for the strength to do it because I love him so much. And I want to live the two greatest commandments. I want to keep him the center of my life. I want to get to know him because I need to know him, to love him, to serve him on this earth. And that means I need to glorify him to other people. And I also know that when I'm standing there looking at the Son of Man one day, he's probably going to say, how many people did you bring with you? How did you share me with the world? How did you allow me to work through you on earth? Because the more that we pray, the more we get to know God, the more we detach from this world, our view of everything is different, and we can allow God to give us those words and those moments that he can evangelize through us. But if we don't know him, again, the first commandment, we can't live the second greatest commandment, which is to love thyself and love thy neighbors. And through our actions, our words, and our deeds, that we lead people to Jesus and hopefully to the Catholic Church.
Can you talk about the role of our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, who's been called the star of the new evangelization, in helping us to share the faith?
Yeah, you know, Mother Mary, she is she's always there too. And I've shared before, I've had a little bit of a rough road with Mary. I sometimes forget about her, even though she has healed me from an addiction in my life. Yes, on the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's funny that you say that. She is powerful, and she's just waiting as well to do what she does, which is to lead us to her Son's Sacred Heart, for him to pour out the graces. She's the mediatrix of grace. So we should be calling on her, as well as St. Joseph. I consecrated myself to him, 2 years ago, when Father Calloway brought out that book. Let's call on the Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, Mary, Jesus, Joseph, however you want to say it, in whatever order, Jesus, Mary, Joseph. I think that's the way it goes. But in the end, we've got an army that can help us be brave and be bold and speak our faith with love and truth and help someone, hopefully, just turn and call out to God, and God will do the rest.
Kendra, as I think of practical ways that we can share our faith, can you talk about the importance of our own witness? You know, how we come across, how people see us. You know, it's been said that joy is the infallible sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. When people see that holy joy in a person, I think it's a lot easier to listen and to hear what they have to say than if you see somebody who's grumpy and doesn't have that Catholic joy within them.
So you remember how the definition went, an enthusiastic advocate. So you really have to promote enthusiastically. So in my exercise example, my husband could have came home and I could have said, okay, honey, well, I got the guilt job from God saying that, you know, hey, I paid for your body with a great price and it's the temple of mine. So get your butt down there and start working out. I could have said it that way, but that would have been more of like a bad thing, right? I have a guilt complex and God is guilting me into it, instead of saying, I am realizing that I'm a better person when I'm healthier. God can work through me. I'm not all gunked up with, you know, more weight and lack of energy. So I twisted it and I made it all this beautiful, big, positive thing that God put on my heart. And there's a big difference in the way that you share your story. That's why when you're sharing God, like in a confession, I certainly don't want to make people be afraid like I was. So I make sure that I get to the end of my story and share the incredible reconciliation and the love and the joy that I felt and the peace walking out of there. Because I think that that's what people, you know, joy is the best net to catch fish.
There you go.
And
yeah, Kendra, I can't help but think here as we're running out of time, how challenging it is in this day and age, in this secular world in which we live, to share the gospel. Just briefly, based on your experience, what is what you think is the best way to do it, especially in a secular environment where God is not even mentioned at times?
It's by your actions. There's no question. It's how people look at you and how God is working in your life. If you were a swearer and now you don't swear, people will notice. If you were impatient and talked about people behind their backs and not a back and now you don't, people will notice. People will see you loving and caring and having compassion for other people differently than you used to. So that's really what it is God working through us and us allowing him to do it by humbly surrendering to him every single day to use us as his instrument out here on the earth.
Absolutely. And I think we need to be genuine and recognize that the Holy Spirit will put the words in our mouth when we need it. So always count on the Holy Spirit in the final analysis. 30 seconds, Kendra.
Yes. Call on the Holy Spirit. Be kind. Remember that every single person on this earth is a child of God, that they are going through something, that they are broken. And you know that God is the answer. Jesus is the answer. The sacraments of the Catholic Church are the answer. So share those experiences. Don't be afraid, because one day you will stand in front of the Son of Man and you can say, I was not afraid. I went and shared the gospel. I was your disciple and your evangelist. I love you, Jesus.
We'll leave it on that one. Jesus is absolutely the answer. Kendra, as always, thanks so much for being with us. Thank you for sharing your faith.
Anytime. God bless you. Take care.
God bless you, too. Kendra Von Esch, faith coach, speaker, podcaster, author, and a regular contributor to this show. It's now time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Number One Across. So I had a neighbor. He was over 80, a widowed guy. Every time I went to get the newspaper, I'd go to my mailbox, I'd open it, and I'd find the crossword puzzle already done. Now, I don't do them, so I didn't really care, but it was strange. So one day, I decided to try and find out who was doing my crosswords. I checked at 8 a.m. They were already done. Next day, 7:30, already done. Day 3, 7 a.m., done. I gave up. Then one night at 4 a.m., I was coming back home from a very late night out. Passing by the mailbox, I saw nothing had been delivered yet. I decided to place my GoPro camera inside the box and see what would happen. Aha! Finally got it. It was my neighbor. He'd done the crossword standing up right at my mailbox. He was there, staring at my door from time to time, scratching his head. So the next day, I went over to his house, and I brought him a 1,000 puzzle crossword book, and I dropped it right at his doorstep. I rang the bell, and then I peeked out from my car. It took him some time to open the door, but when he found it, he was like a little kid with a new puppy. He stayed on his porch and spent like 2 hours doing crosswords, and then he fell asleep. The next day, as I was getting back home from work, he came over to apologize, like a kid that had to confess something. He even brought along some cookies. We sat and talked about his World War II service and how much the world had changed. I often brought him over crossword books until he passed away about a year ago. May he rest in peace. Romans 15:2 says, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up."
Thanks so much, Glenn. Absolutely a wonderful story. Please, I want to remind you to honor our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of the Rosary today, and pray the Rosary for Life this month with Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America with all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every single night of the week right here on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app, or even on your smart TV. I also want to remind you, you can always listen to any of our podcast or any segment of the show you want to share with others at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this show. For the entire team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on Morning Air. Go make disciples. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.